Our message today will be taken from chapter 22 of the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 22. Now in this chapter, Paul is defending his evangelistic work among the Gentiles. And it seems the last word he is permitted to speak to his audience of Jews is that word, Gentile, at which time the meeting ended in disorder. But now, by way of introducing again our study, let me read a few verses. Acts chapter 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Now we'll pause there for a moment or two. Now in these verses we learn something of Paul's character and conduct. He's going to outline to them now his manner of life, what led up to his conversion, and how he conducted himself following that turning point in his life. Notice now his tactful approach. In order to gain the attention of this multitude, Paul displayed great wisdom in that he spoke in a language they understood and used a point of contact wherein they had common agreement. This is one of the things, again, that's very interesting in the life of the Apostle Paul, how that in his early days he was educated in languages and in the law. We have pointed this out in previous studies, but it's worth noting again. He was a man who could speak the pure Greek, the classic Greek, and he used that language when he was addressing the learned men of Athens, as recorded in chapter 17. He spoke to these men in their own classical Greek. At other times, when he was speaking to the ordinary people of the street, he spoke to them in their normal dialect, the Koine Greek. Now here he's talking to men who understood the Hebrew, and he spoke to them in Hebrew. And verse 2 says, and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. So Paul knew exactly how to approach his audience. He was very, very tactful. He gained their ear. He got their attention. Now, another thing that comes out in these verses is his truthful claim. With utter simplicity, he states his national advantages, having been born a Jew, and then with all modesty, he relates his good educational attainments. After graduating from college, he showed a great zeal for things religious, and he tells of his activity as a zealous Pharisee, indicating from whom he obtained his authority to persecute the believers. Now that should have proved to be very, very interesting to the people who were listening to him at that time, and also interesting to us, even now. For different reasons. Here's a man who was born a Jew. He says so. He tells exactly the town where he was born, the city. And then he tells of his education and how he came down to Jerusalem and was educated, as it were, at the very feet of the greatest scholar of that day. And he was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. So not only did he learn languages, he learned law. And he was zealous towards God. And he says, now just as ye all are this day. So he puts his former experience on a level with these people that day who were accusing him. He goes a little further, and he tells them that he was so zealous concerning these things that he had been taught, that he was prepared to persecute these people, that he terms here, I persecuted this way unto the death. That is, he persecuted these people who believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, the Christ of God. He says, I persecuted them. I persecuted them unto the death. I was so zealous. I was binding them, delivering them into prison. And he said, the fact of the matter is, there are those here who could bear testimony to the fact that I was given letters. I was given letters, and I was to go unto Damascus. That is, he had the authority from the Jewish rulers in Jerusalem to go as far as Damascus and to bring those Christians, bind them, and bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished. Plain words. He outlines to these people what his character was prior to the day of his conversion, and he outlines to them his conduct or his manner of life. But now, having gained their attention by telling them how he once lived, which seemed to correspond with their manner of life at that time, now he says, as it were, from verses 6 to 16, he's going to tell them about his conversion and the circumstances surrounding it. Now, it's a good thing when men are able to relate the facts and the circumstances of their conversion, how they were brought to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I know a lot of people today who want to be recognized as Christians. They claim to be Christians. They get quite annoyed if you ask them when they were converted. For example, here's one woman who said that she was a Christian. She was just as good a Christian as anyone else in the town where she lived. And when she was asked when she was converted, she says, I disagree with that kind of teaching. She says, I was always a Christian. I was born a Christian. I was raised a Christian. There was no need for me to be converted. Now, she is only indicating and saying what an awful lot of other people really practice and believe. But now, when you come to think of the Apostle Paul, you realize this, that he was a religious man. He was born into a religious family. He was educated in a religious manner. And he practiced his religion, but he was not a Christian. He was not converted. In fact, he persecuted the Christians. But he's able to tell exactly when the turning point came in his life. Now watch what he says. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. They that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice very carefully now, here is a man, a number of years after this incident took place, he's able still to tell in detail what happened that day as he was going to Damascus to persecute the Christians. You will remember that in chapter 9 of the Acts of the Apostles, we have the record there of this very incident in his life. However, here is Paul telling it his own way, and Luke simply making the record of the testimony that Paul bore. The divine and human elements are vividly displayed in the conversion of this great man. The divine movement is seen first as God breaks into the life of this man while he was on the way to Damascus. Then the human instrument is found in the house in the person of Ananias. Then there was the suddenness about this conversion, and a sight never to be forgotten, with a sound that reached the heart and left indelible impressions on the mind of Paul. It should be noted that there is no record of any of his companions being converted at that time. They saw the light but remained in darkness. They heard the sound of the voice but received not the message. It was a personal call for one man. That, I think, is very, very important, and we should take note of it. Here was a number of men traveling from the city of Jerusalem to the great city of Damascus. It's obvious that Paul was the leader. These others were simply his companions on the murderous trail to persecute the Christians. Yet, at a certain point in the journey, God broke in to their lives. That is, he came directly and spoke to the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul tells us in another place, of course, that the voice spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue. It is possible that the men who were journeying with him did not understand the language. They may have heard the voice, but didn't know the language. That's possible. But the great Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, he understood the language. Not only so, but he understood the message. You know, it is possible for people to understand the language, know what the preacher is saying, and yet fail to grasp the message. It's possible for people to be taught how to read. They may even possess a Bible. They may even listen to the Bible being read, or they themselves may read it. They may know the language of the Bible, and yet fail to grasp the message of the Bible. Oh, how important a matter this is! And I trust that every listener today will get not only the language, but will be able to get the message. May I suggest right here that the people who were listening to Paul at this time, they also were listening to him speak in a language they understood, for he spoke to them in their own tongue. He spoke to them in the Hebrew. They understood the things that he was saying, but it seemed they failed to get the message. He was telling them the story of his own conversion. And every time a man tells the story of his conversion, telling what he once was and now what he has become, showing the change that has taken place in his life, how the power of God has completely changed him, that's a message to reach the mind and heart of the listeners that they also may come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, and that they also may have the experience of conversion. But unfortunately, it is possible for us to listen to men and women tell how God broke into their lives, how God came in by His Spirit, and how they were born of the Spirit, completely changed, converted, if you understand the meaning of that word, changed. It's possible for us to listen to people then telling the story of their conversion, and yet to remain untouched so far as our own need is concerned. Personally, I can say this, I listened on many an occasion to people telling the story of their conversion, and the only impression that was made on me, so far as I can remember, was this. I thought that was good for these men. Why, of course, these men needed to be converted. They stood in need of this salvation. But they never seemed to impress me with the fact that I needed to be converted. And the reason was, I wasn't like them. Like the lady I've told you about, perhaps you're the same, and you're thinking the same as I once thought. Why, I wasn't like these sinners. I was born into a Christian home. I grew up in the atmosphere of Christianity, so perhaps this conversion was not for me. Ah, but there came the day when I learned the truth. There came the day when I realized that I also required to get right with God and be converted. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now that's exactly what Paul is telling them here. He's showing how that in his life there was a turning point. The day when he was born of the Spirit of God, the day he was converted, the day he was justified with God. But now, having laid these facts before them, he goes a little further. When you come to verse 17 of this chapter, it reads like this. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. From that point he was not allowed to proceed any further. So here in these verses, Paul sets before us his commission to preach to the Gentiles. Now the circumstances surrounding his commission are extremely interesting. It was while he was praying. This seems to suggest that we only learn the mind of God when we are in communion with God. It also teaches us that the mind of God is not learned by human reason. Because Paul reasoned that he should be able to make a great impact upon the Jews in Jerusalem because of his former life prior to his conversion. However, he had to submit to the will of God and carry the word of the gospel far away to the Gentiles to be used of God. We must be in the right place at the right time and in the right condition of soul, having our hearts in sympathy with the will of God. Now get this message and get it clear. Here was a man, and everybody in Jerusalem knew what he was like prior to the time of his conversion. So Paul had the idea that if he went back to these people, demonstrated to them by his manner of life that a change had been wrought, that they would also remember what he had been, and now when they saw what he had become, they would listen to his testimony, and my, he would make a tremendous impression on them. His preaching would have an impact on all those people in Jerusalem, and thousands of them would get converted. It didn't work that way. might I say to some of my listeners today, is it possible that when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you had a similar idea? You thought, now, I'll just require to go home, and I'll get all those in my family circle together, I'll tell them what a tremendous thing has taken place in my life, how I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and now I'm rejoicing in the great fact that I have been saved, and I've got the joy of the Lord filling my soul. I'll go home and I'll tell them all at home, and my, they'll all get converted. And you tried it, and it didn't work. Then you thought to yourself, well, now I'll just go to my work tomorrow, to the office or to the factory or the shop, and I'll just tell all the people that I work beside what a great thing happened to me last night, that I was converted, and my, they'll all listen to me and they'll all get saved. And you went and you tried it, and instead of them believing you, they mocked you, they made fun of you, they thought, oh, this one has turned religious like the rest. And they wouldn't listen to you. Now that was true with Paul. You see, he was a good man, and God was going to use him mightily, and he thought he should be used in the city of Jerusalem. But God said to him, no, that's not what you have to do. He said, I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. That was the commission he received. And we have seen, as we have gone over these chapters, especially from chapter 13 right up to the end of chapter 20, we have seen how Paul, the great apostle, went throughout Asia Minor and came over into Europe, preaching to those Gentiles on the great work he did. But now, the moment he mentions Gentiles here, see what happened. They gave him audience unto this word, then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Thus they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. As they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. Paul said, but I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. The chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands, and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before him. That brings us to the point now, where Paul is going to be put on trial, and this trial will not finish until he arrives in Rome. He'll go from one judge to another. Notice the fury of the Jews. One word was sufficient to enrage these people, and the mob became violent at the very mention of the Gentiles. You see how prejudice leads to the rejection of truth. They were prejudiced against the very thought of the Gentiles. But there was the fear of the chief captain. This man was so confused by this unusual prisoner that he commanded him to be bound and put through the third degree, if you like, by having him scourged, thereby get some kind of confession. The freedom that Paul claimed, though, he said, a Roman citizen. As they were about to scourge Paul, he introduced a legal point and claimed protection by his citizenship. Our next study will lead us to the further trial of Paul.